Good morning. Today's chapter from The Infinite Way is called Meditation. And in this book, I don't believe it's explained as well as in the book The Art of Meditation. So we're going to look a little bit at that book too. But he begins with what looks like a dictionary quote on meditation. To meditate is to fix the mind upon, think about continuously, contemplate, engage in continuous and contemplated thought, dwell mentally on anything, ruminate and cogitate. Now that looks like a definition out of a dictionary. So he continues, in the spiritual tongue, meditation is prayer. True prayer or meditation is not a thinking about ourselves or our problems, but rather the contemplation of God and God activities, the nature of God and the nature of the world that God created. Everyone should take some time daily to retire to a quiet spot for meditation. During this period, he should turn his thought to God and consider his understanding of God. Search out a deeper understanding of the nature of spirit and its formations, and of mind or consciousness and its infinite manifestation. He should be careful not to take any of his ills or other problems into his meditation. This particular period is set aside, dedicated, and consecrated to thinking about God and God's universe. As God is the capital M mind or consciousness and soul of every individual, it is possible for all of us to be tuned in to the kingdom of God and receive the divine messages and assurances and benefits and impartations of the one infinite love. The grace of God which we receive in these periods of meditation or prayer becomes tangible to us in the fulfilling of our so-called human needs. Now that is one of the things that Joel said he never could understand. And that is how this works. What exactly happens when you make contact and then it appears out here as fulfillment or as healing? What exactly happens in the invisible? No one knows. But that it does manifest, there's no doubt. The thousands, if not tens of thousands of times that I've meditated, I have seen it. Seen this invisible hand reach right up and through me out here and manifest as some divine harmony. And how it works, I do not know. But that it does, I know 100%. If we do not open our consciousness to the reception of spiritual understanding, we must not be surprised if we do not experience spiritual good in our daily living. And there is no other way to open our consciousness to the realm of soul than through meditation or prayer, through contemplating the things of God. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. That's a beautiful quote. It's much more wonderful as an experience. All through the day, our thoughts are centered on the activities of human experience, on family cares and duties, earning a livelihood, on social and community affairs, and sometimes even on greater affairs of state. Is it not natural, then, that at some time during the day or evening we take time off to retire to our inner consciousness, which is the temple of God, and there dwell upon the things of God? Above all, we must develop the sense of receptivity so that we can become ever more aware of the very presence of God in his holy temple, which is our consciousness. In the secret place of the Most High, which is the Holy of Holies, which is our very own inner consciousness, we receive illumination, guidance, wisdom, and spiritual power. In quietness and confidence shall be my strength. As we learn to listen to the still small voice, the Spirit of God opens our consciousness to the immediate awareness of spiritual good. We are lifted with the divine energies of Spirit. We are illumined with the light of the soul. We are refreshed with the waters of life and fed with the meat which does not perish. This spiritual food is never rationed to those who learn to meet God within the temple of their own being. To receive the grace of God, we must retire from the world of sense. We must learn to silence the material senses and have audience with God. God must become to us a living reality, a divine presence, a Holy Spirit within, and this can only be when we have learned to meditate, pray, contemplate God. Through meditation, we become aware of the presence of the Christ, and this awareness remains with us all day and all night as we go about our human existence. This awareness enters into our every experience and prospers every endeavor. This consciousness of the presence of Christ is a light onto our feet and a guiding star onto our aspirations. It is the presence that goes before us to make the crooked places straight. It is the quality in our consciousness that makes us understood and appreciated by others. And now he's going to give you an example of what to do in the morning. But before that, I want to review something out of The Art of Meditation. Here, Joel says, contemplation lifts our consciousness into an atmosphere of receptivity. I can remember Herb saying, far too few of us remember that contemplation is the way, and that we should be contemplating, not attempting to just dive into meditation. So contemplation lifts our consciousness into an atmosphere of receptivity, into a consciousness where miracles can take place. The conscious thinking mind comes to a stop, and the invisible presence and powers given an opportunity to function. Until that it, that invisible selfhood, that invisible presence and power, is permitted to operate in consciousness, we are merely functioning on the mental level. Now that's important. Don't pass by that too quickly. Until that it, it being the presence and power, is given an opportunity to function, we are merely functioning on the mental level. So, you may sit down to meditate and be thinking a lot of things. You may be thinking about God. You may be thinking about your day. You may be thinking about the life hereafter. But you're thinking. That's not meditation. It can be contemplation, and it can lead to a period of silence, stillness. But in that stillness, that's where the presence and power is permitted to operate in consciousness. And that presence and power is what, well, that's the reality of you. Don't you think it's about time that you allowed the reality of you to function? Instead of always going about through the five physical senses, what would it be like if you allowed the reality of you, that inner presence and power, to flow through your silence out into your life? I can tell you one thing for sure, it would not be your life much longer. It will become the Father's manifestation, or the Christ. And so, after that, you live, but not you, Christ liveth. So, he says, the human mind cannot be the avenue for the activity of the soul. That's very, very important. Please remember that. Know that, like you know the back of your hand. The human mind cannot be the avenue for the activity of soul. A higher consciousness must be reached. Through this higher consciousness, the mind that was in Christ Jesus, the soul reveals itself and its activity as our individual experience. How wonderful is that? That which imparts itself to us from the inner consciousness is power, not the thoughts we think, not our statements or beliefs, but that which reveals itself from within. On the inner plane is the power with signs following. This inner consciousness is without boundary, and by rising to a higher level of consciousness, we become aware of that which lies far beyond our immediate knowledge. I can remember one of my very first early contemplations. It ended in a period of silence, and though I felt nothing at the time, I went in to lay down and go to sleep. Before I could fall asleep, I heard a voice, the still small voice, utter to me, "God needs no prayer. God already is. Man needs prayer in order to let God is." Oh, I jumped up and wrote that down, and I've never forgotten it. You see, God already is. God is ising. God is being all that God can be. This very moment, says Joel. Then what's necessary? What's needed? What's needed is my conscious awareness of God. And so prayer is not for God to do something. Prayer is for me to remind myself to stand aside and behold God ising. You see? God ising. Now, this higher consciousness is unlimited and imparts its wisdom to us infinitely and eternally. And that's what I received that night, was an impartation. An impartation that changed my life. I finally understood how you could pray without ceasing. Because praying is not uttering a lot of words. Praying is listening, being attentive, being alert, bearing witness to God ising. It is that insulated place within our own being where the ceaseless activity of the outer world does not intrude. If we are faithful in the practice of contemplation and the simpler forms of meditation, this practice will lead us from one form of meditation to another until we arrive at the actual experience of hearing the still small voice, of receiving divine guidance from within, and of being divinely led every step of the way. At another time, I was contemplating the scripture, "I come at a moment ye think not." And always in the past, up until that very second, I believed what I was taught. You better be on your best behavior because you don't know what moment he's coming. How happy I was to uncover in this meditation, "I come," that soul within me, that spiritual presence and power, comes at a moment I stop thinking. And so, take no thought, walk without seeking. These became, well, the foundation for my life, upon which the house was built, house being the new consciousness. Now, to give an instruction, he says, if you like, you may open the Bible or a book of spiritual wisdom and read for a short time. You may read only one paragraph, or you may need to read several pages before some particular thought attracts your attention. Now, in the beginning, when you close your eyes, nothing may come for you to contemplate. So what he's suggesting here, he's suggesting that you read a scripture, or you read some of these spiritual writings until something says to you, well, it pulls to you is the way I feel it. It pulls you. And so you have to take it within. All right, so let's return to the infinite way. As we learn to listen to the still small voice, the Spirit of God opens our consciousness to the immediate awareness of spiritual good. We are filled with the divine energies of Spirit. We are illumined with the light of the soul. To receive the grace of God, we must retire from the world of sense. We must learn to silence the material senses and have audience with God. God must become to us a living reality, a divine presence. Through meditation, we become aware of the presence of the Christ, and this awareness remains with us all day and all night as we go about our human existence. This consciousness of the presence of Christ is a light onto our feet and a guiding star onto our aspirations. On awakening in the morning, and preferably before you get out of bed, turn your thought to the realization that I and my Father are one. Son, all that I have is thine. The place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Then let the meaning of these statements unfold from within your own consciousness. Gain a conviction of your oneness with the Father, with the universal life, the universal consciousness. Feel the infinity of good within you, which is the evidence of your oneness with the infinite source of your being. As soon as you begin to feel a stirring, within you, or a sense of peace, or the surge of divine life, then get out of bed and make your physical preparations for the day. Before leaving your home, sit down and ponder your oneness with God. You see, He's giving you examples of contemplation, which in turn lead to real meditation. The wave is one with the ocean, indivisible and inseparable from the whole ocean. All that the ocean is, the wave is. And all the power, all the energy, all the strength, all the life, all the substance of the ocean is expressed in every wave. The wave has access to all that lies beneath it, for the wave really is the ocean, as the ocean is the wave. Inseparable, indivisible, one. And note here this very important point. There is no place where one wave comes to an end and the next wave begins. So that the oneness of the wave with the ocean includes the oneness of every wave with every other wave. As a wave is one with the ocean, so you are one with God. Your oneness with the universal life continues or constitutes your oneness with every individual expression of that life. your oneness with infinite divine mind, or consciousness, constitutes your oneness with every idea of that mind. As the infinity of God surges through you to bless all with whom you come in contact, remember that the infinity of God is also surging through every other individual on earth to you. No one is sharing anything with you that is of themselves, but all that they have is of the Father. So everything that you have is of the Father, and you are sharing it with all the world. You are one with the Father, with the universal consciousness, and you are one with every spiritual idea of which this consciousness is conscious. This is a tremendous idea if you get it. It means that your interest is the interest of every individual in the world. It means that their interest is your interest. It means that we have no interest apart from each other, even as we have no interest apart from God. It means actually that all that the Father hath is ours, and all that we have is for the benefit of everyone else, as everything that they have is for our benefit, and all for the glory of God. So this is a contemplation on the fullness of God. Now this idea must unfold within you in an original way. It must, bit by bit and day by day, unfold in different ways and always with greater meaning because of the infinity of consciousness's ideas. You might note how a tree has many branches, and how all these branches are at one with the trunk of the tree, and therefore with the root of the tree, and that the root of the tree is one with the earth, and is drawing into it all that the earth possesses. And further, each branch is not only one with the whole tree, but each branch is one with every other branch, connected parts of one whole. As you ponder this idea of your oneness with God and your oneness with every individual spiritual idea, new ideas along this line will unfold to you. New illustrations, original illustrations and symbols. By the time you have concluded this morning meditation, you will find that you will actually feel the presence of God within you. You will actually feel the divine energy of spirit. You will actually feel the surge of new life within you. And this too will lead on to other inspired thoughts. All right, so that's the morning meditation. Now, he says, whenever you leave one place to go to another place, such as leaving your home for business, or leaving your business for church, or going back to your home, pause for a second to realize that the presence has gone before you to prepare the way, and that same divine presence remains behind you as a benediction to all who pass that way. So you're contemplating the presence when you do this. The presence goes before me, the presence stays behind me. Your mind is stayed on God for however long you do this. Now, at first, you may forget to do this many times during the day, but by jogging your memory, you will eventually find that this will become an established activity of your consciousness, and you will never make a move without realizing the divine presence ahead of you and behind you. And in this way, you will find yourself to be the light of the world. Just think of that. Every single time you get ready to leave and go somewhere else, you pause for 1 minute to realize the presence before you and the presence behind you, or omnipresence. Now he switches gears here. He says, one of the subjects near and dear to us these past few years is that of peace. And we can have no faith in any perpetual peace based on whatever human documents or organizations can be formulated. True, they have their purpose, and they are a necessary step for humans, just as the Ten Commandments were a necessary step until the Sermon on the Mount replaced them with a higher vision. You do not need the Ten Commandments because you need no admonition not to steal or lie or cheat, nor do you need any threat of punishment to keep you honest, clean, and pure. But the Ten Commandments are necessary for those who have not yet learned righteousness for righteousness' sake. In the same way, the world is greatly in need of some kind of a human organization and some kind of human document to keep some form or some measure of peace in the world. But the real peace, the lasting peace, will only come as it has come to you individually, through the realization that you do not need anything that the other fellow has, and therefore there is nothing to war about. All that the Father hath is yours. What can you want besides that? As a matter of fact, as joiner with Christ in God, you could feed 5,000 any day and every day without ever taking thought as to whence it should come. Actually, he said, greater works than these shall you do, so you can feed 5,001, at least. When all mankind comes into this consciousness of its true identity, there will be no wars, no competition, no strife. As you gain the full consciousness of your true identity, you show it forth in a greater sense of harmony, health, and peace, and success. And one by one you attract others who are seeking the same way. In this way all men will ultimately be brought into the kingdom of heaven. Alright, let us return for a moment to the art of meditation. To have received one statement of truth from the depths of our own being is evidence that we have had a degree of realization of God. Peace and quiet descend upon us, and a sense of well-being and assurance well up within us. This form of meditation, which is contemplation, beginning with contemplation, if practiced faithfully, opens our consciousness to permit God to function in our life, to permit Christ to live our life, but it must be practiced. It is necessary, therefore, to return to our meditation at our first opportunity, and to repeat the process in the middle of the day and again in the evening. We may find that we are unable to sleep continuously throughout the night, and so in the middle of the night the demand comes, meditate. Now I had that literally happen to me. I woke up at 4:30 in the morning and there was one thought within me, meditate. And I went out to the living room, sat on the couch, and began contemplating God. And I had one of the deepest meditations I have ever had, one in which I felt my infinite self and knew my true identity. It's kind of strange at first when you're living this, because you kind of live a dual life. You have a life within, and you have a dual life. You have one of these spiritual experiences, and it's deep, and it's profound, and it almost knocks you right out of your body. And then it winds down, and you get up, and you get in the car, and you drive to work, and you can't tell anybody about it because, well, they wouldn't understand, for one. And you get to work, and the boss comes by, and the boss says, I'm going to need that report on your desk there. I'm going to need that report by noon, or by Thursday, or I'm going to need that product you're assembling finished and tested. Gives you a deadline. And it's kind of strange. You're walking in two different worlds at the same time. So it takes a little bit of getting used to, but it is so worth it. These periods of silence, reflection, introspection, contemplation, and meditation, and finally communion, prepare us to receive the inner grace. Even though we seem to be making no progress in these 3 or 4 minute meditation periods of meditation during the day or night, even though we seem to feel no response, let us not become discouraged, because we have no way of judging the results of our efforts in terms of a single period of meditation, or even after a week or a month of this practice. So he tells you, you can't play Bach or Beethoven after you've only had a couple of lessons. Now, so it is with meditation. We have made a beginning the very first time that we close our eyes and realize, I am seeking the grace of God. I am seeking the word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I know not what to pray for, so I do not pray for anything of this world. I listen for thy voice and wait for thy word. This form of meditation, repeated 12 times a day, would eventually change our entire life. Oh, isn't that the truth? So here he started out suggesting that we do this morning, afternoon, and evening, and in the middle of the night if we awaken. So 3 or 4 times daily. And now it's only a few paragraphs later, he's saying, you can do this 12 times a day. You should do this 12 times a day. Elsewhere, he says in the Kailua Study Series, 1955, he says, "We must have 2 to 3 minute short meditations a dozen times a day." So it becomes, after you've practiced this for a little while, it becomes fairly easy, wherever you are, to close your eyes and begin the contemplation. I and my Father are one. And you're sitting in a bus on the way home. The journey is a couple more miles, so you have time. You close your eyes, close your senses to all the people around you on the bus talking and whatnot. You are able to close your eyes. I and the Father are one. My oneness with God constitutes my oneness with all spiritual idea and spiritual being. And it's just a 2 minute exercise. You contemplate, you rest back, you listen. And the goal of all of this is to become receptive to the Father within. The goal is to be receptive to the still small voice. And the practice, this practice, will allow you to be able to listen. Tune in to that inner presence. And it's quite a wonderful way to live. Now, if you're seeking harmony, or you're seeking healing, or you're seeking supply or some other thing, don't do this. Go read up on metaphysics and practice those principles until you attain the supply you think you need. But if you're looking for God and you want to know God aright, whom to know aright is life eternal, then practice this, and you will turn around in the weeks to come and realize all of the supply you were seeking before has been added onto you. Now, we're not sure how that happens, but that it does, we have countless examples. All that the Father hath is mine and yours, but you can't seek it directly. You have to go within and open out a way for the invisible presence to manifest. When you have opened out a way, and that invisible presence is manifesting, you will say, "Ah, now I see," and you will have all that the Father hath, and always right on time. Every time we turn to that inner center, we are recognizing that we, of our own self, can do nothing. We are seeking the kingdom within. This is true humility, true prayer, and acknowledgement of the nothingness of human mind, human wisdom, human power. Human strength. It is acknowledging that wisdom, power, and strength come from the infinite invisible. These periods of silence create an atmosphere of spirit in which the activity of spirit, without our knowing it or having any awareness of it, goes before us to make the desert blossom as the rose. Okay, here is an example of a simple form of meditation in which we begin with the central idea or quotation and ponder it until its inner meaning is revealed. I can of my own self do nothing. The Father within me, he doeth the works. The meaning of the first part is immediately apparent, but what is meant by the statement, "The Father within me doeth the works"? What is the Father within me? Who is this Father within me? We know that when Jesus made that statement, he was referring to God. So it must mean, then, that God within me doeth the works. Jesus said that it is your Father and my Father, so he seems to be telling me there is a God power, something within, that doeth the works. The same Father that was in Christ Jesus is also in me. This Father within me, this He, is greater than he that is in the world, greater than the problems of the world. The life, the intelligence and wisdom that is within me is greater than he that is in the world, greater than my enemies, greater than my ills, greater than my ignorance, greater than my fears, greater than my doubts, even greater than my sins. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. The Christ is the Father within me. This Christ, the divine power within which Jesus said will never leave me nor forsake me. The Father within, the Christ which strengtheneth me, will never leave me nor forsake me. Before Abraham was, this Father was within me, and it is with me even unto the end of the world. It is a presence and a power that has been with me from the beginning of time, even when I did not know it was there, and it will be with me throughout all eternity. It will be with me regardless of where I am. If I make my bed in hell, if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, this Father is ever with me. It is a presence that never leaves me, a power that always strengthens me, goes before me to make the crooked places straight and the rough places plain. I feel thy hand in mine. I know that there is a power that can do all things. I know that there is a presence that can live my life for me, make my decisions, and show me the path of life. The whole kingdom of God is within me. Thou wilt never leave me nor forsake me. I can never doubt thy presence. All this thou hast revealed to me from within myself. I thank thee, Father, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them to me, a babe in truth, a beginner on the spiritual path. This practice of pondering a scriptural quotation is not too difficult for a beginner, and it is not too simple for an advanced student. As in the example given above, a central thought or quotation is used in an attempt to understand its inner meaning and to receive light on it. Now, I never received understanding by going directly for understanding. I have received it more as an inspired feeling, an intuitive knowing, while contemplating a truth. And maybe that's what he's saying too. These primary forms of meditation should be understood and practiced before the higher, more difficult forms are attempted. Let us remember that our object is to develop a state of receptivity to the still small voice. Now, that still small voice does not always come in the form of a voice that you hear. Sometimes the voice will utter itself, as it does in me, as instantaneous realization. Oh, I come at a moment you don't think. Oh, I see. It comes like that. It's not, well, A equals B and B equals C and A and B and C equals D. No, that's logic. This comes differently. This voice may say, God needs no prayer. God already is. Man needs prayer in order to let God is. And you hear that whole sentence, and you jump up and write it down. But it may also come as an instantaneous inspiration. Ye ask and receive not, for you ask amiss. Amiss. Ask amiss. Yes, when you're asking reason, remember Joel says be suspicious of a truth that seems reasonable. Walking on the water, feeding 5,000 with a little loaf and fish, raising the dead, does all of this seem reasonable to you? So, it doesn't mean that it can't be reasonable. I come that you might have life, and life more abundantly. Well, that's reasonable. I mean, that's why I comes. However, when you receive it as a direct inspiration, and reason isn't involved, you will know I within you come that you might have life, my life, life abundantly. And you know it's talking directly to you, revealing the I within you. I don't know if I can explain that real good, but when it comes as inspiration, you just feel it. You know the meaning of something you never knew before. You don't know how you know, but you know it. You know it. You feel it within. He says, the object is to develop a state of receptivity to the still small voice. We do not think about our problem. We turn within and wait and wait and wait. We wait for 3 or 4 or 5 minutes. If at the end of that time we have not felt a response within ourselves, and we get up and go about our duties. An hour or two later, we again meditate, waiting silently, waiting until the voice of God utters itself within us. The thoughts that race through our mind do not concern us. We are not interested in them. We are waiting until we feel the activity of the Christ stirring within us. If we do not feel the touch of the Christ within 3 or 4 minutes, we return to our daily tasks. But 2 or 3 hours later, we meditate again. If it is necessary, we continue this practice for years. But if we are persistent, the day will come when there will be an inner response which will give us the assurance that there is that within us which the Master called the Father, that which Paul knew as the Christ. Now, He said in the Kai Lua study series, I believe, he said he meditated 12 times a day. 12 times a day. For 8 months. Before he felt the first stirring. And that was only a nanosecond. He wasn't sure it had even happened. So, Joel Goldsmith meditated 2,880 times, approximately, before he felt that first stirring. And we meditate 4 or 5 times and become discouraged and disappointed because we haven't made contact yet. How bad do we want to know God aright? How much do we really want to feel this presence? Then you will begin meditating 12 times a day. Well, he says here the beginner should meditate 3 times a day, but I think everybody in this group is ready to meditate for 2 to 3 minutes 12 times a day. All right. He finishes this chapter by saying, from the moment that awareness is ours, what awareness? The awareness of that inner presence. We have demonstrated Paul's statement, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Then this atmosphere of the Christ is always with us. Always. And our very physical presence becomes a benediction to everyone with whom we come in contact. Because we are there? No. Because the Christ is there as the light of our being. The way is to pray without ceasing. We consciously open ourselves to the realization of the Christ until the time comes when you and I no longer have to do it consciously, because there is no longer a you or an I to do it. Look unto me, the Christ, and be ye saved. Do you understand that? That Christ, that presence, begins living your life. It operates through you. It manifests itself. And then, yes, Christ liveth my life. Please take this chapter, no matter how advanced you think you are, no matter how much of a beginner you think you are, please take this chapter and take it seriously. Practice it. Practice, practice, practice. And in this way, you will be putting off material sense, putting off mortality, and putting on this presence, putting on immortality. And Joel promises us the day will come when this immortality takes over. It really does take over, and it lives your life instead of you. I know how I want to live. I know that this is the way. Thank you so much for bringing this forth. I knew that the chapter in the original book, The Infinite Way, was going to be a little bit short. And it was. We finished it right at 30 minutes. But I also knew there were some helpful hints in the book, The Art of Meditation. which expanded on this idea. So thank you. Godspeed. Practice, practice, practice. Listen, listen, listen. Behold, I come quickly. God bless.